I love Christmas. There's something special and magical about Christmas. And one of the reasons that I love Christmas is that Jesus' story and Jesus himself connects with so many people. In fact, connects with every culture around the world. My wife collects nativity scenes, and we have somewhere on the neighborhood of 100 of all shapes and sizes. And since we've been able to travel a bit in the last years, we've been able to collect some from around the world. So we have one from Spain in the top corner, and then opposite it, the wooden one, is from Germany. The bottom ones, we have one from Nigeria and one from Liberia. And if you look at them, you can see reflections of the people who made them to represent the birth of Jesus. As I thought about our little nativity scenes, I thought about how the nativity is represented in art. And I'm going to take you on just a couple of quick photos. So we have a 15th century Italian Renaissance painting of the Nativity. The next two come from Japan. A sculpture and an artwork. Can you see the features? Can you understand how people from the Japanese culture would relate to the story as they see the Christ child looking like them? The next one is a Chinese artwork. And again, you can see the features and how people in that culture could paint Jesus in a way that connects with who they are. And this, the last one, is from a Polynesian nativity. And again, you can see the reflections of the people there. We don't know what Jesus really looked like. But what I love is how people in every culture, at every time around the world, can understand the story and then represent the story in figures that are important to them, in ways that communicate with who they are. He is, after all, Emmanuel, God with us. And being able to connect and identify with Jesus is central to his message. There's one website. It's called YouVersion.com. And that one single website, you can find the Bible and the story of Jesus in 1,228 versions in over 895 languages and counting. The story of Jesus is meant to be turned into the language of the people so that every culture can hear this story in their heart language. I think Jesus loves when we represent him in art that looks like us. When we take his words and translate it into our heart language, whatever that may be. Jesus meets us where we are. He holds out life-giving presence and leads us, if we are willing to follow, back into relationship with Almighty God the Father. It doesn't matter who you are, what you look like, what you have done, where you have been. Jesus is willing to meet you right where you are. And if you'll let him, if you'll take him by the hand, he is willing to lead you back home into relationship with the Father. The second reason or at least another reason that I love Christmas is I love presents. I mean, that's how my family communicated love. My family wasn't very good with words. They were not good with physical touch or affection. But my family gave gifts. And it's a way that because of my upbringing, gets to the very deepest part of who I am. And maybe you connect in other ways. But Jesus came bearing gifts. And underneath our Christmas tree, which our children decorated, are beautiful packages, which Lisa inscribed on them, different gifts that Jesus gives to us if we'll only take Him by the hand and walk with Him in relationship. And I'd like to share just a couple of them. We've seen them and heard them in the story. Right now, in particular, our world is ravaged a bit by fear. I don't like to say that, but with the Paris attacks and the mass shootings and Ebola scares and market worries, all in this 2015, many people are fearful. I hear it all around. I hear it at the gym. One of my gym mates owns a gun store up in Connecticut. And he was inundated after the San Bernardino shootings. And one of the questions he always asks is, why are you purchasing a weapon? And he said the answer he heard over and over and over and over and over again was, I'm afraid. I'm fearful. Fear can come at us in any ways. It can come when we get that phone call from the doctor, when we see the lights of the police behind us as we drive. Fear can grip all of us. Fear gripped Mary when God said, hey, you're going to bear my child. Fear gripped the shepherds when they were out and this amazing display began to happen in the sky and they didn't know what it was. And in both of those accounts, one of the first words that God's angelic messengers said to Mary and then to the shepherds was, do not be afraid. I like the older version, fear not. It's more dramatic. See, in the face of fear, God offers us peace. The angels sang, glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace on those His favor rests. This peace, the peace of God offers, is calm in uncertain times. Peace on earth, God said, when He announced the birth of Jesus. Bad things can still happen to you or to me, to those we love. But in those trying times, God offers peace that is much more than simply calm in the crisis or a dampening of hostilities between peoples. God offers what the Jewish faith calls shalom. It's a peace that is a wholeness, a completeness to life. To you, shepherds, God says, to all on whom my favor rests, God says, I offer you wholeness, peace, no matter what the winds of life may blow. God says, I love you. I bless you. Peace is a gift held out to us for just such a time as we live right now in Jesus. Another gift that God offers is the gift, really, of what I would call acceptance. Again, you could see it in those pictures, the way every person can depict the Jesus story in figures that look like themselves. The shepherds heard the angels say, and they said, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord told us about." So they hurried off and found the baby lying in a manger. I just want you to think about that scene. You have a newborn nestled with you, and all of a sudden, these men of the fields come to you. They haven't bathed. They still have that scent of their work. And they're invited right in to see the child. See, that's a picture of God. He says, "I don't care what you look like, what you've been doing. You are invited to come right up to the Christ child, if you will, and experience Him for yourself. Society may not value you, but Jesus does." And it's not just the shepherds, the people on the margins of society. Who are the next visitors that we read about? They're magi, these mystical, magical people who could take a year or two off from work, whatever that might be, to go on this pilgrimage. They brought incredibly expensive gifts, and these same people, Jesus just, you know, invites them right in. And that's the way God is with us. He invites us to Him. He accepts us because the third gift is He loves us. "I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all people," we're told. Another gospel writer reminds us that God loved the world and sent His one and only Son to the world. God's love in Jesus is for everyone. God loves you. I am so blessed to be able in that moment to speak on behalf of God to each of you. God loves you. He knows your name. And He loves you. We come to Christmas Eve services for all kinds of reasons. Sometimes it's kind of the family thing we do. It's tradition. We come for the music and the songs. We come because it's important, because it's part of who we are. None of us are here by accident. We're all here, and God knew that. And one of the things He wanted to say to you is that He loves you. That's part of the great news of Christmas. Like I've already said, nothing we've done, nowhere we've been, will keep God from loving us. Because God is love. And just like those scenes where the rough and tumble shepherds or the fancy magi, everyone can come and have access to Jesus. There's one more. If you were to come and look at these, you see that one box is separated. It's a different color. It's got a bigger name. It's called Salvation. It's the largest box under the tree. And if I could have, I would have taken all the other presents and put it inside that box. Because that one really is the one that opens us to all the others. We're told the reason He came is today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in clothes lying in a manger. When I was about 11 years old, a friend of mine convinced me to take the small little family sailboat out on Lake George for a joyride just as evening and dusk was coming down. I was not any good at sailing. My friend was, supposedly. We didn't bother to tell our parents. We just pushed the boat off and we went out, and it was great while we were in the cove. We didn't pay attention, because out past the cove on Lake George were whitecaps. And when we made the turn out of the cove into the larger body of the lake, it swept this tiny little sailboat along. It threw us out of the boat, and as I came back to the surface, I saw the boat flipped, bow over stern 3 times. It's the most frightened I've ever been in my life. I had clothes, no life preservers. We did one of the most foolish things. And fortunately, someone was tooling around in their motorboat and saw probably the boat flipping and came over and was there within 5 minutes to pull us out. Obviously, it has a good ending. I'm still here. That was the moment when I was most frightened, and there was nothing I could do about it myself. I was in deep trouble. And God reminds us that spiritually we're all in deep trouble. We can't swim back to shore by ourselves. But Jesus came to be Savior for those who would believe in Him. At the birth of Jesus, God said, "I know you're in trouble, but I'll take care of that." It's not by rules or regulations. It's not by religious rituals. It's not by anything I can do for myself, but it is by simply believing in Jesus Christ that God's gift of salvation becomes ours, and then the gifts get lavished upon us. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. Tonight, as every day, God is offering us Himself, His gifts. We may mask our need with various addictions. We may mask our need by buying and filling our lives with stuff so we can look good in front of neighbors or keep ourselves occupied so we don't have to think about things. We can mask our pain in countless ways. But the truest answer to our pain and to our longings is to put ourselves in the hands of Jesus and walk with Him in life and let Him bring those gifts we need when we need them. And on this Christmas Eve, I remind us that God offers salvation, peace, acceptance, love, and many other gifts, and they're there to you. Will you receive them? Will you take those gifts and open the love Jesus has for you? Amen.